Well, hello. This is Justin Hollander, and I'm happy to welcome you to my podcast, Cognitive Urbanism. Yeah, so it's really great to have you listening in. Thank you for joining. So you've probably, if you are a regular listener, a subscriber, you've probably been waiting with bated breath. When is the big AI edition of the podcast coming out? When is that going to happen? When am I going to finally really get into AI? So here we are. This is the AI episode of, well, maybe the first of many of Cognitive Urbanism. Yeah, so I have, as a researcher, used AI for, I would say, probably about 7 or 8 years, quite a long time. It's a really powerful way to be able to analyze data, to be able to extract information. I've used different types of machine learning, convolutional neural networks, natural language processing. It's just been a big part of my research, you know, whenever I'm trying to work in a new area and working with new methods. So that is one thing. The other area is, along with a couple of colleagues, Professor Maxwell Hard and Dr. Ruth Potts, a senior lecturer at Cardiff University. Max Hard is at Queen's University. Along with them, for I'd say at this point, maybe 5 or 6 years, we've also been studying how AI has been used in driving the activities of bots operating, essentially robots in social media space. And that has been with the generous support of the Land Economics Foundation. And so that project is something that we've published. We've written many articles about, but we actually have a book that we just finished writing and hopefully will be coming out next year on the same topic. So this has been an area of AI that I've been involved in for quite some time. I am looking forward to doing a podcast episode about that book when that comes out. And certainly I encourage you to look at some of these articles I've done over the years using AI in different facets. I wanted today to focus on something a little bit different. One of the maybe scary, terrifying developments in artificial intelligence is the emergence of generative AI, particularly with the introduction of ChatGPT at a public level and a more advanced version, and how it has begun to challenge our very, very long-standing notions of what knowledge even represents. We really need to do a little bit of work as humans to kind of come to terms with what it means to know something in light of the pretty remarkable ability of these generative AI platforms. Now it's not just, as many of you know, not just OpenAI's ChatGPT, but X has developed their Grok, and Google has Gemini, and so on and so on. So there's so many of these out there now. And as an educator and as a researcher, you know, trying to develop new knowledge, I'm really struggling with this question about how it really forces us to kind of rethink what knowledge is. And so I was really struck when I read an article maybe a year and a half ago or so, where some medical researchers asked the question, when people posted onto Reddit medical questions and verified medical doctors responded, how did those answers differ from if you put the same prompt into OpenAI's ChatGPT? And what they found was, using the methodology and the research design they developed, they found that generally, actually, the answers were better coming from ChatGPT. Wow. So, like, this for me was a big deal. I mean, are we really? That's it? We're giving up? Humans just don't have it anymore. So I teamed up with a couple of my students, and we tried to replicate that study using urban planning as a kind of field of knowledge instead of medical science. So I'm really happy that along with my student, Leah Schwartz, and former research assistant, Yuzhen Zhang, we were able to publish our paper in a British journal. It's an international in scope called Town Planning Review. So I'd encourage you to check it out. So the title is AI-Generated Knowledge in Urban Planning, Chatbots and Professional Planners' Expertise in Responding to Public Queries. So really the question was the same as what those medical doctors were asking. We wanted to know if there was any measurable difference in the kind of responses that ChatGPT is able to offer to queries compared to the responses that were given by the verified planners. So in replicating the study, and I'm not going to go through all the minutiae of exactly what we did, but the gist of it was pulling out questions, queries that were posted by ostensibly just regular, ordinary people who just wanted to know more about urban planning onto Reddit in a Reddit subgroup that's kind of devoted to urban planning themes. And so we were able to pose those same questions to ChatGPT. And then, just like the medical doctors in their study, we recruited a panel of esteemed practitioner planners and asked them which was a better answer. Which did a better job of answering the question? Well, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news for humans and humankind is that ChatGPT actually did do better. It really was pretty significant. I'm going to give you the numbers here. The among the evaluators, they prefer the AI-generated response 73% of the time. And in addition to just asking them which is better or worse, we also asked them to give a score to each of the responses from 1 to 5. And in general, the score was higher. The 3.7 versus the score they gave to the human, 2.87. So this is really for me, devastating that our real life planners out there volunteering their time on Reddit, that their responses are not as good, based on my panel. But yeah, I mean, It is annoying, but at the same time, I guess it's kind of exciting that at the same time humans have been able to build and create something so powerful to be able to generate these types of responses to queries that are so much better. Okay, so that's relevant. That's relevant, but the story is deeper because when we look closely at the kinds of responses, it actually turns out that AI, did do really well at providing answers to some types of questions, but they didn't do as well when it came to providing sophisticated responses to really complex questions. And so, we can think about the idea of what is knowledge in a very kind of unitary way, or we can think of it as very kind of like multidimensional and layered. And so one thing that I took away from this research that I feel good about is that, if you're asking like how did zoning get developed, maybe that is complicated. But if you're asking, define by right uses, there are relatively simple answers that it's possible that generative AI platform is just going to do a better job than humans in providing a succinct, quick, clear response. But when there's nuance involved, when it comes to some deep complexity that relies on experience and a rich education, it does seem that the planners actually are better. The humans are better there. So, what's the kind of big takeaway? The big takeaway is that there is a new resource out there for when people want to know about planning. There is a new resource and people are using it. I mean, I can guarantee you there are out there every day in America, someone is posting some sort of a question to their AI companion and asking them about something about planning. And I think we can take some comfort in the idea that a lot of that knowledge that's being shared is probably pretty good. That's what my paper is suggesting. But it's not the end of the story. There's still, extremely important role for the knowledge that actual human planners, bring to the table. And one of the things that we kind of wrote about in the paper in terms of the implications is that when you think about planners engaging with communities in a, let's say a relatively small town of say 20,000 people, maybe there's one professional planner. Well, that one professional planner might not really be able to spend their whole day answering different kinds of questions from a community. So having some sort of a AI agent that can be available to support community inquiries, could be useful if that AI agent is tested and validated. But I think when it comes to something really important and a member of a community in that same, town of 20,000, if there's something really important, they want to understand how certain regulations apply to their property or there's something happening in the planning process around mobility and they want to make sure that they understand what the local government wants to do. I mean, here we can see because of the limits that a generative AI has, the planner still, that their knowledge is still going to be extremely valuable. So there's a positive take home that humans still matter. We still have a role to play. But when we talk about knowledge, I didn't want to end this podcast just on this question of research and how we can understand practice. But I think it's important to address the kind of larger question around practice. There are increasingly opportunities for planning practitioners to embrace AI as part of their own work. And that is not something that is likely to go away. I think that those opportunities will probably be increasing. And so using the knowledge, the results that I've generated here in this research, that this could be something that can be incorporated into improving efficiency of planning as a practice. There are numerous other kind of questions and ethical questions that continue to abound around using AI. Is it plagiarism for a professional planner to use AI to write a professional report or a plan? This is something we have to grapple with here at my university. When we talk about student work, if a student outsources their thinking and has AI write their paper, that is plagiarism. So what about in the professional context? Those questions have not been fully answered. I can say that in my own classroom, in my own workspace, I think that the learning process is very distinct from the work of a practitioner. And that when it comes to putting information into our brains as students, as learners, there's no shortcut that AI offers. We still need to do the hard work in learning new material. And I will just share that in one of my classes that I taught this semester, I made a big effort to really try to limit the ability for students to be able to bring in that kind of plagiarism I was referring to, or whether you might want to call it cheating, and to really make sure that the work they were doing to learn in the classroom was going to go into their brain, and that there were no shortcuts that they were going to be able to use to outsource that work. But later, after they graduate and they start working, that knowledge that's in their brain from what I taught them or what they learned in my classroom, you know, if they end up needing to do some shortcuts and to make things easier for themselves or to meet a deadline that their boss makes them meet, you know, AI can be really important. And so coming back to the study, this paper that I've been talking about that I wrote, you know, there is a role for AI. You know, before OpenAI introduced ChatGPT, had its grand debut, people were looking at Google and DuckDuckGo for answers to their questions. And so this is another source. It's a source that I feel confident has some utility, but it also has limitations. So I really appreciate you listening in and joining me on this podcast. I hope you will like what I've talked about. I will hope you will share it. I hope if you haven't given a rating to the podcast, you could try logging in someplace. I don't know where exactly. Somewhere on Apple Podcasts, there's a place you can give a rating. And certainly email me, you know, get in touch. If you have ideas for other podcast episodes, I will definitely respond. I would love to kind of hear your thoughts. And I hope you have enjoyed this session on AI and planning. And definitely stay in touch. Have a great day.